Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, the 8th day of August, 2019, and the scripture reading this week is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 24. The New Testament portion is John chapter 4, verses 1 through chapter 5, verse 47. And also 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook.com/WatchmanIS216. Instagram.com/WarnRadio, Twitter.com/WarnRadio, Twitter.com/WatchmanIS216, and LinkedIn.com/IN/Watchman. You can listen to all our shows on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We also distribute the shows through our Warn Radio network of partner sites, which includes Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes One, iTunes Two, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast, and the show videos are on Facebook. And also, we're on Google Play Music, so there's lots of avenues where you can hear the shows. Take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. I want to admonish you to do so. Dana puts in a lot of time and prayer into these articles, and they're Christ-centered, so please take time to read them and pass them along to your friends. This week we feature Kingdom's Call of the Light in Christ Jesus. Kingdom's Call, walking in the light as Christ is the light. Be righteous as you walk in a world of darkness, for the light shall overcome all things. Be sure the Lord has shown you, O man, what is required of you. A chosen generation has been called out of darkness into his light. Are you one of them? This is a message for today and for all people. Also, Christ Jesus of the faith you follow. Christ Jesus. It is not the religion, the denomination, the current trend, or any other man-made thing or theology. The brass tack of the situation, the hard-nosed fact of who we are. It's not the faith, but the Christ of the faith who we are to follow. We don't follow faith, we are to have faith. So go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com where you can read those articles and pass them along to your friends. And also listen to our shows. And tonight on the show, it's the Lord's Judgment on Pride, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 13. The Lord's Judgment on Pride. Got pride? Well, in the human endeavor, pride is never far away. At times it inflates the personal ego. Other times it inflates an entire nation as it glories in sin. The nation lifts up the humanistic endeavor and achievements, including the freedom to sin. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on? Anything interesting?
Well, you know, things are really heating up with all the media and everybody and all the stuff that's going on. I mean, it's in some respects absolutely pathetic. it's tragic because of what those young men did and all the people that lost their lives.
Oh, yes,
but
it is.
It's pathetic, the response from the Democratic people, the Democratic, well, in the House as well, and the Democratic candidates for president, their responses were pathetic. They politicized a lot of it. It was disgusting. And it's pathetic that you have people down in El Paso that, you know, think all this over the border and illegals is just because he hates them. People today are simply pathetic, misguided, and don't understand what is going on here. And the division, of course, as I said last night, and you and I have talked about, I had prophesied about the division coming back during the eclipse that we had a couple of years ago, and I went into detail about how bad it would be, and I told him that the sign was here, that it was going to be divided. And I go into quite a bit of detail, and all of that is over on our websites at warren-usa.com. We have a number of articles and various other things on the eclipse, the great summer eclipse. So at any rate, you can find that over there. But, go ahead.
What I find tragic about all these murders in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, it's very tragic. It's heartbreaking that people want to destroy other people's lives. And my heart goes out to all these families that have lost loved ones in this situation. But one of the real tragic issues is that the Democrats jump on the bandwagon of Trump. It's all Trump's fault. They show no compassion or mercy towards these people or these families. I think that's really tragic that they're so self-centered and like that, that they have no compassion for these people. I've not heard anything. All I've heard is how it's all Trump's fault. They're getting after him. And where's
their
sympathy and compassion?
Well, as people have pointed out, and the Democrats have missed, is that there has been a bunch of people killed in our inner cities on a daily basis. And in Chicago and New York, both, who have some of the strictest gun laws, murder is a regular occurrence. And so to blame all of this on ARs, to blame all of this on Trump is stupidity. It's political.
Yep.
And it's in order to make points so you can get elected as president. And I despise that. What we need today is people to come together. And as it was rightly put, and that is something Oprah had said, that what we're missing in this country is a center place of the churches, where we can stand on the churches. Well, see, we've thrown it out. And we've raised nothing but pagans for a long time, practically. So there is a lot of things stirring, and I hope that the church will get stirred, and I hope that people will stand up and decide to disagree agreeably and get along and stop all this baloney that's been going on. But the bottom line of it is that we do wickedly, and it's not just murdering. I'm talking on blood guilt on Friday. I've been doing that for some time, and I talk about blood guilt for a reason, and America's full of blood guilt. And if you really want to know the bottom line truth of why we have someone that commits mass murder, it's because of a curse that's on our land as a result of the shedding of innocent blood. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's your problem, not mine. Because I can tell you, God will hold this country accountable for everything. And standing around and blaming a president, you know, blaming Trump about the border problem when no administration has ever dealt with it. He's the first one to really take it on. You know, so there's a lot of things that we're finding out. There's a lot of things that are people that are in the House today, like Nadler and others, who live every day with a jealous rage towards Trump. And their one goal is hell or high water to impeach him. And they don't care whether it's right or wrong. In their opinion, that's it. They're going to do it. And so, you know, the worst thing that they could do for themselves, the country, is pursue that avenue. But that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, America hangs in the balance. But see, most people don't care anyway. And you have people that continue to shoot off their mouth about white supremacy, like AOC and others, and that's pathetic. Because calling on white supremacy is stupid. It is a lack of knowledge. Now, you may think you can say that because you're Mexican or because you're, you know, black or whatever color you may be. But the bottom line of it is that there's more races that are biased than just the white race. So you can put that in your pipe of judgmental pride. And we're talking about judgment and pride tonight out of Isaiah. So it's a good one to start on, because maybe you can learn something. And with that, I've got to get going on this.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, tonight, Lord's Judgment on Pride. You got pride? Well, just about everybody does, but there are times when this pride is entirely a problem. In Isaiah 10:6, "And I will send him," he was entirely in the hand of God, "against a hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath, will I give him a charge to take spoil, to take prey, to tread them down like the mire in the streets." Now, he is Sennacherib, the hypocritical nation of Judah, because they have fallen away. Now, there's one pertinent thing here, though, in all of this. Number one, the Lord is the governor of the nations. And number two, in Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Because the Lord has that ability to turn the heart of the king. And one of the best ways to see that is when you're in Daniel, and you see how Daniel found out about the children of Israel after 70 years returning. And Daniel, finally, after 21 days of fast, the angel did show up. And see, the angel of Persia, the warrior who was of the darkness, stood in the place where the angel needed to be, so he had to call for more help to remove that one so they could move the heart of the king. But in fact, you know, the one that was anointed at that time was indeed Cyrus, who came in, who ordered, you know, the children of Israel who were in captivity to go rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall, go back to Jerusalem. And to this day, he is known among the Jews as the anointed of God, one who helped deliver the Jews and send them back. And that's exactly who they call Trump. And he's well known over there. And they call him Cyrus, the modern day Cyrus. Well, whether he is or whether he isn't, I think that's an awful heavy title to place on somebody like Trump or anybody. But see, when we get into Isaiah warning for 10 chapters and also going into detail what's going to happen, a nation like Judah, who had historic roots going back to David, of course, there was Solomon, but Solomon fell away, and that's how come he wound into two houses for the nation of Israel, because he had sinned, his heart departed from the Lord. But David was the warrior king, and the promises flowed out of David through Judah. Now, if you go further back than that, of course, you have Caleb, you have Joshua, and you have a lot of arena in there when Israel really did walk in the way of the Lord. But when you get further here, the two houses separated, the northern tribes went into judgment, And then eventually Judah went into judgment and was in that for 70 years. The lost tribes of Israel never did return. Some of them were there, and it is said some of the historic documents, when they talk about the Jews returning from Babylon, never did return from Babylon. They went into other areas. And, I mean, they didn't return to Judah. Some of them stayed in Babylon. Some of them went in various other places, so they got scattered in that manner, too. But there was a remnant that went back to Judah. But for right now, there is people of his wrath, and he is sending Sennacherib into this. Now, of course, as I pointed out, I think it was last week, this reminds me again of Habakkuk, who had sought the Lord God because of the sins that were going on. And the Lord said, I'll take care of it. I'm going to send someone who's a bitter and hasty nation who will come in and pillage. In the same response, God did that. That's the way it works. So when you find a nation, and let's look at America, that turns against the Lord God, and snubs their noses. Now, see, we've been a nation of believers. We've had a solid foundation of Christianity. A lot of our universities in the beginning were Christian universities. A lot of our school system, matter of fact, the first book that was people were reading out of was the Bible, and that's how they taught the kids English. We had big, big revivals in this country. We had huge evangelistic crusades. We had huge amounts of people that had gotten into the midst of revival and repentance in this land. So when you tell me in your modern way that America was never a Christian nation, well, the nation may not have been, but there was a huge influx of Christianity and blessing of God. And there was, this nation is covered with that covenant because of what some Christians did when they first came to this, and what Christians every year pray to this God. So whether you like it or not, God has a people here, and that people pray for this nation that it would continue. They pray that God would heal this nation, and they're standing tall. Some of them are lukewarm. Some of them are falling away. But in the essence of it, God does not desert his people. And although he sent Sennacherib against Judah, and it was a severe judgment, in the end, Sennacherib did get killed in the end, but there was a spoil that happened up to the time they came up to Jerusalem. But when we look at it, there's 5 points of judgment in this Isaiah 10:6. He says, I will send him. So the first point is God sends the judgment. And he also picks out who it is. He specifically chose Sennacherib. And he's going to send it against a hypocritical nation. And the second point, that nation that's coming to do the judgment on the hypocritical nation will take charge over the judgment. He says, I will give him a charge. So he's going to take charge. He's going to spoil. He's going to take prey. He's going to tread them down. Now, you may think, how could he do that? Well, he does it because there's sin in the nation. And this is in order to save those who haven't fallen away and to bring others back. This is what has to happen. And so this is a redeeming quality of this. This is bringing them back after they learned a lesson. And they're the ones that fell away. The nation, again, will take spoil and plunder. They will take prey, and they will tread them down in the streets. Now, this is when you look at vanquished and the slain, and they're laying in the streets, and the conquering army comes in, and the horses will tread upon those who have been slain and who are wounded. Many times they'll just run them over, and the Assyrians would humble, they would subdue the people, and they'd be willing to trample them in order to get them to understand the judgment Now, the problem you have here, of course, is with the nation that comes in and does this. There's a lot. They will give offerings to their god. They will attribute the wind to their god. They will say by their own hands they have done this. And, of course, worship their god. And they will, you know, have a lot of pride in this thing. And so this also is one thing true, that although God sends the one coming, he does turn around and judge them. He judged Babylon. He judged Sennacherib. He will do that. And so, you know, you can even look at America, the nation that, you know, God forbid, should one day America fall. The nation that brings it down, or the people that bring it down, there will never be another nation like this one. It will never be as blessed as this one. And the people who will have done it will, again, face judgment themselves. And this is what happens. In Isaiah 10:7, howbeit he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. And, you know, emperors, you know, and kings make plans. And Egypt has always been a prize. Egypt was a prize that Rome wanted to fully conquer. And it had been a prize that Antiochus Epiphanes wanted to conquer, his dad wanted to conquer. Now you have Sennacherib, who has that same thing. Now, see, Egypt withstood a lot of stuff. Now, on his way to conquer Egypt, Judah wasn't his main foe. He wasn't planning on going there, but God sent him there. And so this is what Sennacherib says. He says, for he saith in verse 8, are not my princes altogether kings? Verse 9, is not Calno as Carmish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? Sennacherib had taken Calno. Calno was a city in Shinar. Now, Shinar, you can remember that from Babylon. Babylon, you can find that over in the Iraq region over there, is known as the same city as Ctesiphon on the bank of the Tigris, which runs through that area. The king had taken Hamath in Syria. And, of course, Samaria is Damascus. Samaria, of course, was done with. And, of course, the Hebrew, when we look in the Hebrew on this verse, and he saith, have I not taken the region beyond Babylon and Calaim, where the tower was built? And I have taken Arabia, Damascus, and Samaria. And, of course, here what he's doing in both 8 and 9 is bragging. It's pride. This is what I've done. And, you know, rightly so. You know, this is a human condition, because there is that braggadocious, there is that thing, this is what I've done. Well, the problem you get, like even under Antiochus, when Antiochus, and I do a whole series on this because he's an anti-type, he is a type of the Antichrist. And, you know, before he died, he regretted that he had done what he did to the Hebrews, to Jerusalem, and to the temple. He said that. So, you know, when they first go in, you know, you do things you shouldn't have done. And you destroy things you shouldn't have touched. You know, there's such a thing. And there's a term that is used in Scripture, tempting God. Well, God cannot be tempted. The very effort to tempt God will bring judgment on you, because he doesn't respond to temptation. You can say, here, God, you know, come here, you know, like you're offering cheese to a mouse or something, or a bone to a dog. They say, come here, God, I dare you. You don't do that. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar found that out. And you can read the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He wound up eating grass like an animal. You don't. And see, the problem we have with today's society, we don't believe that. And I have always felt that the churches need to have more fear of God, true fear of God, to understand that when he says judgment will first begin at the house of God, he means it. And that alone ought to make every church and every Christian and every pastor and every board member and every deacon member, every bishop, every one of them, teacher, everybody, consider their actions. And in verse 10, this continues, as my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. Now see, that is absolutely amazing. See, Jerusalem, you know, the center of the Jewish God. This is a lot of scriptures. This is where God wanted to make his home. This is where David made his kingship. You know, he conquered before it was Jerusalem. And he brought it to fruition. And he, well, you know, you got Jerusalem. It's been the center for the Jews. And they have their temple there. They had their temple there. They had their prophets. They had everything. This is where Solomon rose to the top of the nations in the world, was at Jerusalem, building the temple that could not be outdone anywhere in the world. Solomon, who had more wisdom than any other king on the earth, who was well known, was famous in fact, 300 wives, 700 concubines, and countless horses and armies and stuff. And they're supposed to be serving one God. One. And yet in this scripture, it says, and this is talking from the point of the king, boasting of his might and power, that he's found the kingdom of the idols, whose graven images did exceed them of Jerusalem and Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? You know, this is... And so... He's boasting about all of this. But see, he's next going to be going to Egypt. And he's going to destroy Egypt. See, this isn't a supposition with him. This is, I am God, practically. I have done these things. Who's going to stand up before me? Well, if you go back to Alexander the Great, you go back to... of course, he had three kids, and then you go back to the line of Antiochus, and even the Roman Empire. You know, these kingdoms were absolutely great. The Maccabean kingdom is another one. You know, it just, see, kingdoms pass away, but God doesn't. And see, there is no kingdom, there is no system, there is no other God but this God, and no other, nothing's going to stand except for him. And that's the important point here. Now see, the thing of it is, he's coming up against Jerusalem, but the king is Hezekiah. Hezekiah is one of the best kings Judah had. And all of his reforms didn't get fully implemented before he died. And you know, he did make a couple of mistakes along the way, like showing the people from Babylon all of the riches they had in the treasury. Then the prophet came and said, "What have you done?" You know, and warned him about it. And of course, Nicarib got sick, and well, eventually he was able to live some more, and then he did pass away. But it wasn't Hezekiah that was going to see the judgment, it would be his children. So it's just an amazing thing how this works with the prophets and with the kings. But today, you know, being under the blood of the covenant, Christ, and having grace, and we have a tendency to believe that God has taken leave of judging nations. Well, see, he's chosen to judge nations in the end times, and that is during the tribulation. And there's going to be a judgment of nations. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. And there is going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign of the greater Son of David, the warrior king, known to you and me as Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he will sit. And that's where he's fulfilled tabernacles. He will tabernacle. He will sit on his throne and rule and reign. Now, of course, that's in the future. But see, this is all part of what we look at as prophecy and consider. I don't worry about people not believing it. I don't worry about how it's going to come in. That's not my job. I don't care. God says it's going to happen. I believe it. And when God declares something, like when he came to Isaiah and he's given Isaiah this this word to speak. And, you know, they no more wanted to see Isaiah show up, some of these Jews, than the Jews at the time of Jeremiah wanted him to show up, because they both talked of judgment. And you look at America today, I can tell you they don't like the message of judgment. And I've been warning America for over 21 years. We focus mainly now on teaching and preparing for what is coming. It's not, you know, it's a fact. It's coming. And I don't worry about the time frame. I live from day to day. But see, this is where, in this, everything is in the hands of God. Now, in verse 12, the Lord says through his prophet, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and Jerusalem." Now, see, when this judgment has been finished. Now, see, the Lord has performed it. He's put it in the heart of this king and his army. Now, make no mistake about it. You may think, well, God gives us a choice. There are certain things men and women have a choice about. But I can guarantee you, you have no choice in certain things. God determines the end from the beginning. And whether you like it or not, he determines how long you're going to live. And he allows you in your life to do as you please. But there are some things, even in your life, when you do them, will bring repercussions. And so the issue of following God or even being a heathen is you better wake up, because your life can be snuffed out like that. You can die like that. God says, whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you're going to go out there and live your life as a liar, a cheater, a thiever, don't be surprised if someone comes and kills you. God doesn't have to cut short the lives of everybody, because most of the time their fruits that they do will do it, because he's already declared it. And upon the church and upon those who believe God is coming, it's time not to be joyous, but to weep and mourn and pray and fast and ask the Lord to heal the nations. ask the Lord to awaken the churches, to stir the people of God. And we need to gather together like a vast army and rise up and let the heathen know, and they're heathen here. Let people know that want to do these things. This is America. This is the country, and we're here, and we're claiming righteousness and holiness and serving this God. Now, see, we're not making it a theocracy, but we're standing up like Americans have stood up their whole life. But see, God performed his work on Zion and on Jerusalem, and it was going to come to an end. And then he says, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart, that means pride of heart, of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high looks, you know, that air of accomplishment, majesty, I'm king, you know, I'm powerful, who's going to stop me? You can't stop me. Riding high on his horses, overriding everybody, you know, trampling people under. Yeah, God says, I'm going to bring him down. And God will bring down those in this world who are murdering and raping and killing. And all of you radical Islamists out there that are murdering innocent Christians and even innocent Muslims who disagree with you and anybody else. And you sit there in your pride, and maybe you got caught, and you're in a jail cell, and I'm thinking of one young woman, and she was responsible for a major bombing, and she's the one that planned it, and she said, and it made the social media today, and she was saying how she regretted none of it, and this is, you know, this was what she was to do. See, God is going to cut your pride of heart down. There's coming a day for the wicked. David said, I've seen the wicked spread like a green bay tree. And then I looked, and lo, it was gone. For the wickedness shall grow like this tree. And then when you turn around, that wickedness is cut down, and it's no more. Make no mistake, we may be in wickedness in America or around the world. We may be facing darkness, damnation, tribulation, and every other thing. But God is in charge. And if there's one thing you need to understand, even in judgment, God is in charge. And this is a God that told Isaiah in the beginning of this, tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and tell the wicked it will be ill with him. Now, what side of that do you want to be on? And when you talk about Isaiah and all the people, even in the Christian church today, and say, don't preach out of the Old Testament, it's old. No, it's not. That's what the Lord preached out of. That's where the apostles got their word from as well. I got news for you. This is something that you can learn and you can take from. Because God told Isaiah that, and that was a very harsh judgment. And you're in America today, and we have people running around like those two young men with ARs. Killing so many. Times are dangerous. The shedding of innocent blood. Putting blood into the ground. That's where that goes. That's the slaughter of innocent babies in abortion up to the trimester and the birth is horrible. That's the shedding of innocent blood. God will not let these things go by. I guarantee it. So Sennacherib's going to prance all the way through the land. Look at me. I've conquered all these. My horse has personally trampled these people underfoot. There's been nobody able to stop me. The archers, their arrows didn't pierce my skin. I was able to stand like a god on a horse, and nobody touched me. My own men and my own chariots and my own army crushed them. And I alone stand with my army, and there is nobody who can bring me down. He wasn't the only man to say that. There's been a lot of leaders like that beforehand. Verse 13, it says, "For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom," yeah, his wisdom, not knowing that God put it in his heart and God led him the whole way, because what he doesn't know, see, he's saying this before it happens. God is reading his heart, you see. But he's going to come to the end of it. He's going to come to that bounds when he will look around and he won't have an army. And this great, big, victorious monarch, who was a god to all those that he had defeated, will have to go home without an army. And while he's seeking refuge before his God and praying to his God, his own sons kill him while he's seeking his God. And guess where he's going to wind up? Standing before God. Rich and poor alike will have to give account. By my wisdom, for I am prudent, I have removed the bounds of the people, I have robbed their treasures, I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. He could care less about God, this guy. He's boasting here that he changed the boundaries of old kingdoms and made new ones at his pleasure and extended his own kingdom. Matter of fact, that's exactly what it was said of Antiochus, who fulfills the type when we get into Daniel. And it's also exactly what we're looking at when we look at the types of the Antichrist, or is what he's going to be like, some of the things he's going to do. He will be able to do the same thing. And it gets pretty big when you're a monarch and you're a god of war, or a person of war. And that's, a matter of fact, that's the god that he's going to be serving in the end times, a god of war. And he will pillage, he will conquer. Oh, 3.5 years is how long he's got. But you see, the bottom line of it is that for as great as Sennacherib was, he's not going to be able to get it done. And see, all the plans of men, it's just like you can take Erdogan in Turkey, who is working for the day to have his own caliphate, like the Ottoman Empire, and rule the world to bring in his God. Or if you're like Iran, who is preparing the world for the Mahdi and are willing to have a world war to do it, both of those men would bring the earth to literal extinction in order to bring in their God. And that's why when we look in Revelation, it says of the Lord that he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. There are people on this planet today, and I'm not talking about those that, don't realize global warming. Folks, if you're worried about global warming, you just wait till the tribulation. Because it's not going to be it's not going to be global warming that's going to destroy the earth. It's people making war. Isaiah, and we will get to that in this series, he says that the curse has devoured the earth, and that's what it is. Global warming, or some of the things that you determine as global warming, that's your term. But in fact, it is just one of the many things where the curse is beginning to take its toll, and that curse goes back to the fall of man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people. As one gathers eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. You know, that's one of the things that when we get into the Muslims and Muhammad, when he created his army and wrote his book and did everything, he made it to where men would love to make war. He gave them the opportunity to pillage, to rape, and when they're all done, in case they die in battle, they're going to go to heaven and have 70 virgins and heavenly wine and live there forever. So he made it to where these men would willingly fight because it's so attractive to them. Man, I get to make war, kill and murder and rape, and I'm still going to heaven. Hey, man, that's right for me. See, this is why so many young men are caught up in it. They're taught this from birth. And even women are caught up in it and are willing to do this. This is the deception of all this stuff. And you get in the West and they don't understand it. Matter of fact, the whole thing that we face today in America and around the world is bringing in. We are in the time of lawlessness that Paul warned about in 2 Thessalonians 2. And that is going to lead us right into the confines of the son of perdition, which is a name for who he is. But he's really the beast, because you have two names, basically, for the one that's coming. The son of perdition, because he's the destroyer. He's coming to destroy. That's what his purpose is. And you have the beast, which shows you his roots and where he came from, out of the beast. And the beast is, of course, the dragon. Satan, Lucifer. And so, as he gathers eggs, I don't know if you've ever gathered eggs, but I have. I just don't use them to cook with, but I've gathered them as a kid on my granddad's farm. Fairly easy. The chickens lay them. And you just reach right under and grab them eggs and leave. And you just gather them up and you just go. And you go in there, the next day, and there's, or two, and they got more. That's how easy it was for him. Once you conquer them, everything is open. And that's one of the preliminary things that people want. And in America, we've got so many rich people, so many areas that are virgin, virginal forests, rivers. We have so many also areas that were the broadly rich, mega rich live. This nation ever falls, these mega rich dudes ain't going to be in that place. It'll be just like Saddam's palace. They'll have it pillaged. There will be nothing left except the walls, maybe. That's what people do. You know, unfortunately, there is so much evil bound up in the heart of men and women. Many of them, when they're bound up with evil, can't see beyond what they're doing. He says, I've gathered all the earth. Well, not quite, but it seemed like it to him. And nobody could move anything to stop him. They wouldn't dare open the mouth or say anything. And you know there would have been some of them that were not dead, that were standing by as he pillaged and took the riches, as their armies went through the houses, as they raped and pillaged their way through the land. And in some parts, the people actually left ahead of him before he got there. And so he would simply go through the city and take anything that's left. This is what they do. In most cases, they would be taking all the cattle. They'd be taking all of the animals to eat. They'll be taking any extra grain. And sometimes they'll even go right behind and burn it all. And, you know, they will also go into the king's houses or wherever they might be able to find riches. They'll, you know, and so they'll be taking all this stuff. And you're talking a vast army. So they'll be going into all these homes. And you have a vast army. It's just going to, it would be just absolute chaos. And if you manage to live, you're going to move off to the side. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to say anything because you're trying to keep from getting killed. And if you're a woman, you're trying to get from being raped or taken hostage and then raped every night for the rest of your life by these people. So it's not a fun place and it's not a fun time. And this is not a fun judgment. But see, God warned Israel. He told them not to fall away. Do not do what the nations are doing. God tells Christians the same thing. He says, walk in the light as I am in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1. All the apostles warn the Christians. All of them warn all the believers to walk in the light, to walk. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. All of them. Dear God in heaven, what don't we understand? We all know Israel fell, and we know the results. They're over in the land of they, and they got more enemies than they can shake a stick at. But for Christians, we seem to be asleep. Where were all the churches when they were passing some of these damnable abortion laws where the woman in the trimester when she's having a baby and if that baby is born alive, now they have a right in some of these states to kill the baby. Dear God in heaven, give me strength. And you want America to stand up and be great? A great nation is not one that lives in godlessness. And you might say, well, it's not the worst nation. True. But this is a nation that had people in it that sought the Lord God in the new covenant. And that nation that they sought it in was America. America has been set aside. God decided to use this. Christians came here fleeing the persecution from the church in England. They came here for a reason. So it's time to wake up, America. And it's time to understand the examples that we're looking at here tonight is something we do not want to see in our country or any country, but we are coming to the tribulation time in the future. And it's time. If there's ever a time for you to wake up, if there's ever a time for you to seek the Lord, it's today. The Apostle Paul told us that one of the reasons that we have these is so that we can see them as examples and learn from them. In verse 15 it says, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? See, this is exactly what this king is doing. You know, if you have an axe, if you have a saw, any kind of a tool. I've got a lawnmower. The other day I went out there and that lawnmower was standing up on all four wheels and it was telling me how great it was because it mowed the lawn. Well, I had to set it down and tell it, no, you didn't mow the lawn. I'm the one that put the gas in you. I'm the one that pulled the thing to get the engine going. And I'm the one that pushed you around the yard and I emptied the basket when it got full of grass. So no, you're no God. You're no human. You're a machine. And when God's looking down at these pompous kings, I'm the one that sent you against my nation. I'm the one that took you by the hook of the nose and brought you and your armies there, and I'm the one that's going to send my angel, and he's going to slaughter your people outside of Jerusalem. The very one that you were going to turn around and you were going to pillage. You're not going to pillage it. And unfortunately, people don't listen until it already happens. I mean, that's the way it is, you know. People don't learn. I mean, we see that all over the place in history. People don't learn. That's the problem we have. God has given us a choice for mercy or judgment. And it's free. Nobody should wind up in hell. Nobody, well, that is except the devil and his angels. Nobody should wind up without knowing the Lord. It's free. Except it costs you everything you have. Who you are. You have to follow him. And that's up to you. Read John 1, John 3, John 10 through 17. Read Romans 3 through 7. And read 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 5. You can make your decision from those for you to decide. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless your people. Help them to understand, Lord. Be with them, watch over them, and take care of them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, we don't have much time. Pride's an ugly head. Better not be lifting it up. I tell you, I don't want to be on that side of the Lord, you know.
You and me both.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening whenever you do. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We appreciate you and all you do for the Lord. We love you. We pray for you. And may God richly bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night for Sound of Shofar.
Well, folks, we thank you. Remember to go to our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, read the articles, listen to the shows, send them on to your friends. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're also on Lineable. We're on Tumblr, LinkedIn. We're on a lot of these. But for right now, this is The Watchman. Shalom, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.